Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the UBS Conversations podcast channel. For today, I am joined by Justin Waring, Senior Total Wealth Strategist, as well as Ainsley Carbone, Retirement Strategist, both from the UBS Chief Investment Office. For today, we are back with the second episode of our new Three Levels podcast series. The goal of this series is to tackle a single topic at three different levels of depth to help families understand the basics of investing and financial planning. The three levels of depth are definition, identification, and implementation. In today's episode, we will be focusing in on traditional accounts versus Roth accounts. So with that, Justin, Ainsley, as always, thank you both for dropping by UBS Conversations to spend some time with our listeners and our clients of UBS. To begin, let's start with level one, definition. Ainsley, can you define for us a traditional versus a Roth account?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having us. So we, in this conversation, we're talking about types of retirement account savings. So there are several important details that differ between these two accounts, being the traditional and Roth. But at a very high level, the primary difference is essentially how they are taxed. So with a traditional account, contributions are made on a pre-tax basis. So no income taxes have been withheld yet. Investment earnings grow tax-free or tax-deferred, and distributions taken in retirement are taxed at ordinary income tax rates. With Roth accounts, contributions are made after income taxes have been withheld. Investment earnings grow tax-free, and then qualified distributions are also free of income tax. So in a very simple way, the simplest way to say it is really with a Roth account, you pay taxes now. With a traditional account, you pay taxes later. Now, there are two places that you could go to contribute to these two different types of accounts. So sometimes people will go through their employer plan if your employer offers a retirement plan, like a 401k or a 403b. These always allow traditional contributions or pre-tax contributions. Some plans also allow you to make Roth contributions to these types of accounts, but they don't always do that. But a benefit of contributing to a Roth 401k or a Roth 403b is that they do not restrict your eligibility to make contributions based on your income level. So regardless of your income level, if your workplace retirement plan, like the 401k or the 403b, if they offer Roth, you will be able to contribute to it. You may also be able to contribute to a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. Those are accounts that are separate from what you would get through a workplace retirement plan. But keep in mind, though, that contributions to this type of Roth account, the Roth IRA, are not allowed once you reach a certain income level. And then also your ability to deduct contributions to a traditional IRA varies depending on a few different factors. So it's just important to, you know, work with a tax advisor and your financial advisor to make sure it's something that you can contribute to. And there are really many other differences that are so important to be aware of when it comes to deciding between these several different account types that we discussed. For instance, each account has different rules regarding eligibility to contribute, like I said. Contribution limits differ, and then there are also restrictions and also distribution requirements. So before you select which account you want to contribute to today, you have to make sure that you're speaking with your financial advisor, who's going to be able to tell you all the key details about these different account types.
Now that we have a definition of a traditional account versus a Roth account, let's move on to level two, again, that being identification. So, Justin, how does one identify when they should be contributing to Roth versus traditional accounts?
Thank you, Dan. As Ainsley mentioned, one of the key differences between traditional and Roth accounts is when the taxes are paid. And so there's really three things to keep in mind when deciding how to make a contribution. Generally speaking, the first is your future tax rate. So if your tax rate will be higher in retirement than it is today, it probably makes sense to make a Roth contribution and pay today's lower tax. However, if you're expecting to have a tax rate at some point in retirement that's lower than it is today, then you may want to have a traditional contribution and postpone paying the tax until the distribution is made. The second thing to bear in mind is your current level of tax diversification. There's not an optimal ratio of taxable, tax-deferred, and tax-exempt assets that we recommend that you target, but we do recommend spreading your assets across each of these tax treatments because that can help you manage and decide how much taxable income and investment income you'll have in a given year during retirement. And by having that optionality of how you fund your spending and how much tax you realize on a year-by-year basis, this allows you to manage your tax burden dynamically throughout retirement. And then the third thing to bear in mind is the purpose of the dollars. If the dollars you're saving today are eventually going to be used for your own spending purposes or for inheritance purposes, then it might make sense to do Roth contributions because these accounts are going to be tax-free and they may pass tax-free to non-spouse beneficiaries, so your children, for example. However, if you're planning to leave assets for charity, for example, you could contribute those dollars pre-tax and then leave those assets to charity either by making annual qualified charitable distributions or by naming a charity as your beneficiary. And charities are not generally subject to income taxes. And so no one will have paid any taxes on your contributions, and it will basically boost the amount of wealth that you're able to give for philanthropic purposes.
Moving along to implementation level three, Ainsley, how often should investors be reviewing their contributions?
Well, as Justin had mentioned, for most families, a balance of traditional and Roth contributions and also taxable assets will provide the best results for them. But this does not mean that you should be contributing to Roth and traditional equally every single year. In reality, what you should be doing is you should be redirecting your contributions as your circumstances change, keeping some of those three aspects that Justin had mentioned, keeping those three aspects in mind. For instance, as you're progressing through your career, your income will hopefully or likely change and increase. So as it increases, you'll likely get to a point where it might make more sense to shift from Roth contributions to traditional contributions. But there's not one single income level at which point every single family should be shifting from Roth to traditional. It really just depends on your specific situation because, like we said before, your current tax rate is not the only variable that should be taken into consideration. You also want to think about what your future tax rate might be, how much you have in wealth saved in other types of tax treatments, and also the purpose of these dollars. Now, we certainly recommend revisiting your contribution type annually, but it's especially important to revisit it at any time your income pushes you into a higher tax bracket than it was the year before, because then that means that there's going to be a greater chance of being in a lower income tax bracket in retirement. So if we look at our income tax system, there are two points where it's the largest increase in tax rates. There's the point where you move from a 12% income tax rate to 22% income tax rate. And then there's also the point where you shift from a 24% tax rate to a 32% tax bracket. So these are the two points where making the switch from Roth to traditional may provide you with greater tax savings. But again, this doesn't mean that everyone should be shifting from Roth to traditional at these two points in the income tax system. But like we said, these are the two points where there may be the greatest potential for tax savings. So it's at these points where we're recommending you to work with your financial advisor and tax advisor. This is where it's particularly important to do that, to make sure that you're taking into consideration all these key aspects that we've been speaking about when it comes to revisiting that contribution strategy. So in short, we'd say definitely do it annually, but it's particularly important to make sure you're reviewing your contributions when you're being pushed up into higher income tax brackets.
Running with this a bit further, Justin, Ainsley had mentioned future tax rates. I'm curious, what happens if, let's say, an investor's future tax rate differs from their expectations?
Well, the bad news is that there's always going to be uncertainty about future tax rates. Congress has the power to change these things, and they may have a lot of incentive to change these things, especially given the amount of debt that the country has at the moment. And so that's why we don't suggest basing the Roth versus traditional decision solely on what you think the future tax rates will be. Instead, our real objective here is to spread your taxable income across as many years as possible, and to spread your assets across a mixture of tax treatments that allows you to be flexible and manage your tax burden during retirement, regardless of what future tax rates will be. It's important to recognize that if you're planning to retire early or have at least some low tax years in your future, you will have an opportunity later potentially to make Roth conversions where you take some of the existing pre-tax traditional IRA and 401k assets and recognize the income during your low tax years and turn them into Roth assets at that point. And so for many people, this is a window of opportunity that happens early in retirement, and especially if you retire, you know, at the age of 65 or so, because you'll have several years before your required minimum distribution start. That's when the government starts making you take assets out of your IRA and 401k accounts and start paying taxes on any untaxed contributions, as well as growth. And also, this window of opportunity extends until you claim Social Security, which of course is going to be partially taxable for most households. And so in these early years where you don't have a paycheck yet and you don't have other sources of major taxable income, we call these the gap years. These are years where you're also able to readjust exactly how much taxes you're going to be recognizing on a given year to do Roth conversions. And that tends to be a very powerful strategy when we look at families who saved substantial assets in their traditional IRA and 401k accounts.
Well, this has been very helpful outlining all of these considerations. And as Justin and Ainsley have been emphasizing during our conversation today, for our clients of UBS listening in, it's important to keep the conversation going. Speak with your dedicated tax advisor, of course, as well, your UBS financial advisor. But Ainsley, Justin, thank you very much for dropping by UBS Conversations for another episode of our new Three Levels podcast series for today. Today, highlighting traditional accounts versus Roth accounts, hitting on these tax considerations. Do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again next month.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.